This evening's scripture reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.
I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening and share a few thoughts from God's Word. I apologize ahead of time for the quality of my voice. Most of you know I have a very loving and generous wife, but she crossed a line when she generously shared her head cold with me about 24 hours before I was supposed to step up here and deliver this lesson. But we'll see how we go here. I want to talk with you for just a few minutes this evening about communicating with our God through prayer. You know, we communicate all the time, don't we? We communicate in a multitude of different ways. We communicate through our speech, through gestures, through pictures. We communicate nowadays through social media almost perpetually, don't we? It's just a constant part of our day-to-day life. And who is it that we communicate with the most? It's the people that we love, isn't it? We communicate with the people that we love. And if we don't, for a period of time, get to communicate with those individuals, we start to feel anxious. We start to get concerned. We wonder what's going on. Where is that person? Why aren't they responding to me? I remember, and some of you may remember, that I had the opportunity to go to Russia with Brother Charlie Hunter and do some missionary work. This has been back in the 90s, and at the time I was either engaged to Lisa or it was getting close to the time that I was engaged with Lisa, and it was a three-week period that, you know, back then we didn't have cell phones and social media and all those things. At least I didn't, and so I couldn't communicate with her for about 3 weeks. And that was rough. I wondered how she was doing. It was on my mind a lot. And so it is with us when we can't communicate with those people that we love. Well, think about communicating with our God. He's our creator. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that loves us the most. And so how should it affect us, and how do you think it affects him whenever we're out of communication with him or we don't communicate with him properly? Prayer and communication, both ways, with the Almighty God should be a critical part of our life. It should be a daily, regular part of our life. And if it isn't, well, we're not going to be as healthy spiritually as we could be or should be. You know, God has always done his part. He's communicated with man all down through the ages. We've been talking in our Wednesday evening class about how God communicated with Adam, directly with Adam. And we can read about that in the book of Genesis. He then communicated, didn't he, through the prophets all down through the years. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others. He communicated through angels sometimes, as we see with Mary. Before the birth of Christ in Matthew 28. It communicated through angels to Mary. That wasn't in Matthew 28, was it? So through the Spirit, he's also communicated, and in particular with us, through his word here. You know, that's quite a volume. That's a lot of communication here, that he has taken time through his Spirit, through men, to communicate to you and I. And so God has done his part in communicating to us. And he gives us all kinds of different communications. If we need comfort, well, that's there. Go and read Philippians chapter 4. A little snippet of that Caleb read before the lesson this evening. Just great comfort that you'll find if you read Philippians chapter 4. Evidence, if you read some of the prophets, some of the messianic prophecies, It's amazing to see what evidence is there of God and his love for us and his sending his son to die in our stead. He communicated that evidence through those prophecies for our betterment, for our knowledge. He gives us warning about how we shouldn't behave and what the consequences are if we decide to disregard that and sin in his sight. Read Romans chapter 2. There's just a list of things in that section of the scripture that caution us against how we should not behave. And then, of course, the Bible is chock full of wisdom about what we should do and what is pleasing in the sight of God. And so he's given us everything, hasn't he, that we need. He's communicated to us everything that we need in this life. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that he's given us in the scriptures all that we need to be righteous in his sight. And so let's ask ourselves, I guess, then, why is it important? He's communicated to us. Why is it important that we would communicate back to him? Why should we communicate with God? What does the scripture tell us about that? Well, first and foremost, we have to communicate to God to confess and receive forgiveness of our shortcomings and our sin. You know, he sent his son to die in our stead. He's made it possible for us to receive forgiveness, but he still expects us to ask for it when we fall short, to confess it to him. And so we do that through prayer. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's an important verse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive all unrighteousness. There's nothing he won't forgive his children if we confess it in prayer and repent and humbly ask for his forgiveness. In Psalm 32, 5 and 6, we read, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden, I said. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near. And so if we confess to God through prayer, he's faithful and just to forgive us. That's an important reason for us to regularly communicate with our God. Secondly, the Bible tells us that we communicate to God because we have the privilege of asking things of him. Think about that. Let that sink in for just a minute. That the Almighty God of the universe says, ask me. Ask me what you'd like. Tell me what you'd like, what you need. He already knows it, of course. But we have the privilege of making requests of the Almighty God of the universe through our prayer. We read in Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, after the ascension, after Christ ascended into heaven, what did the disciples do? Well, they gathered in prayer. Acts 1:14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so making our requests, our supplications to God is a reason why we should go to him in prayer. Then, of course, as Seth pointed out this morning, an important part of communicating to God is communicating our thanksgiving for all the blessings that he provides us with. Seth mentioned in his lesson that, you know, if before we prayed, we sit down and count our blessings, we'd almost forget, maybe, the things that we wanted to ask for because those blessings are so numerous. There are so many things we have to be thankful for. We read in Philippians 4:4-8, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, he doesn't want just the requests. He also expects us to be thankful for the things that we have. But with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a comforting passage that is. That if we just don't worry, and we pray to God, and we have the confidence in God that we're called to have, that our hearts will be at peace. A peace that surpasses the understanding that the world has of what peace can even be. We can have that peace that only God can provide if we just pray to Him, lay our cares and our troubles and our concerns on Him, and have confidence in Him, have faith in Him, that as the Scriptures say, things will eventually turn out for our betterment, even if that's in eternity. We'll make it through these difficult days. He promises that, and there's something better that waits for us on the other side. And so we want to communicate with our God to thank Him for all those things that He provides for us. Fourthly, we want to communicate with our God for the benefit of others, don't we? We have not only the ability to go to the God of the universe and ask for things that we want, that we need, that we're concerned about, but also we can go on behalf of others. When Peter was miraculously freed from prison, you remember that? He was in prison. The angel came, released him from prison. And so he went to the house where the disciples were gathered. And it says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying for him, no doubt. Lots of Christians praying for Peter. Paul said in Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, Christians, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do we pray for others that we love? Do we pray for our enemies? Do we pray for those we're concerned about? We should. That's a good reason to go to God. It's a privilege to be able to communicate with God and to talk to Him about the things that burden our hearts concerning ourselves and also others. But not only does the Bible tell us why we should communicate, you know, some of those things are common sense as to why we would communicate with God, but the Bible goes much further and not only tells us why, but how we should communicate with God. You know, it's interesting that I see on Facebook, I go there maybe once a day and kind of scroll through and see what's going on, and it's amazing to me the number of times people reference praying. It seems like everybody thinks that they can have the privilege of going to God in prayer. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that a certain people can pray and that those certain people need to pray in a certain prescribed way. It's not just a privilege that everyone enjoys, and we can't just do it in any way that we want to. And so let's look here for just a few remaining minutes about what the Bible says concerning how we should pray. You know, the Bible's just chock full of examples of people who didn't do things in the prescribed way and the consequence that came as a result. You remember Cain and Abel, of course. Abel offered the sacrifice in accordance with God's instruction. Cain did not offer it in accordance with God's instruction, and so God didn't accept it, did He? Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire to God. They didn't create the fire in the prescribed way. Now you might think, well, why does that matter? You know, fire is fire is fire. Well, not according to God. God said, I want it done this way, and they didn't do it that way. Something as simple as creating fire in the temple. And so God struck them dead. He didn't accept that because it wasn't according to His prescription. How about Saul and the Amalekites? You'll remember that he sent Saul. He said, I want you to utterly destroy this people. I don't want you to leave anything. Utterly destroy them. And what did Saul do? Saul used his own judgment, didn't he? And he said, well, you know, I'm going to save the best of the herds and the flocks, and I'll sacrifice those to God. He'll probably like that. And oh, yeah, I'm going to keep these kings and bring them back. That's not what God said. His heart may or may not have been in the right place. I don't know. But he wasn't obedient, so God didn't accept his service. He said, I've taken the kingdom from you because you didn't listen to me. And so we need to heed that kind of instruction when it comes to prayer. We can't just pray in any old way and expect God to accept it. And so let's look at some of the ways or some of the important aspects of how we're to offer prayer. Let's look first at prayer improperly offered. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, pray without ceasing. That's Paul's instruction, pray without ceasing. And so one way that we can improperly offer prayer is to not regularly pray. Prayer is something that ought to be a regular, ongoing part of our life. Look at Christ and how often he prayed. He was the Son of God. If he had to pray that regularly, how often should we have to pray, do you think? And so we can't pray once in a blue moon and then expect that God's going to listen to our prayers. We have to be in regular communication with God. Pray without ceasing. Matthew 5, 23 to 24 tells us that if you want to come to God, but yet you realize, oh, I have something against my brother, I have a conflict, I haven't forgiven him, well, leave your altar, or leave your gift at the altar. Don't bother worshiping God. Go and fix that situation with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. God doesn't want us to be having conflict in our hearts. He doesn't want us to have sin in our heart. He wants us to have a pure heart when we come to him in prayer. So we need to be reconciled to our brethren before we can expect that we're in a right relationship with God. Prayer improperly offered is one that's offered just to be seen of others. We read about that in Matthew 6, 5. We're instructed to enter into our closet when we pray. Now, that doesn't mean we can't offer public prayer, but we need to be praying on a regular basis just between us and God. And then, of course, in Matthew 6, 7, vain repetition, saying the same thing over and over again and not having your heart in it is not acceptable prayer to God. And so there are various aspects of how we shouldn't pray. Let's look for a few moments at how we should pray. What we talked about, we want to pray without sin in our heart. David said in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I'm regularly practicing in sin, if I have that in my heart, God's not going to listen to my prayer. He's not going to listen to my prayer. God wants a pure heart. Now, that doesn't mean we haven't sinned. Otherwise, how would we get forgiveness of that sin? You know, we're supposed to go to God and ask him to forgive our sin. So, of course, that doesn't mean that we can't sin if we want to pray to God. But it does mean we can't have that sin abiding in our heart. We can't be regularly practicing sin and expect that when we offer a prayer to God, we're going to be heard. It doesn't work that way. We need to pray with a forgiving spirit. Matthew 6, 12 to 14 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is Christ's model prayer. He's teaching his disciples how to pray. He says, and forgive us, God, our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then later he says, for if you forgive men your trespasses, disciples, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's a big if. And so we have to have forgiven. We have to have forgiven those around us, our brothers, our enemies. We have to have forgiven them if we expect to go to God and get forgiveness of our shortcomings. Think about that. Let that sink in for just a minute. Are there people out there who you're harboring a grudge against? Are there people out there who you're in conflict with? That you harbor resentment in your heart? I hope that's not the case, but sometimes it's hard for that not to be the case. We live in a world right now where there is conflict every time you look in the news. It seems as though we're a nation divided. And I see that trickle into the workplace in my daily life. You can see it. There's just a tension. There's a stress. There's a conflict that hasn't always been this intense. And so it's almost in the fabric of our nation right now. We need to be careful of that. We need to be careful of adopting that. Because if we do, it can get between us and our relationship with God. If we're not forgiving of, if we don't have forgiveness in our heart towards all those around us, then God won't be forgiving us when we ask for it. That's a clear teaching in the scriptures. We need to go to God with humility and repentance. There's a parable that's taught in the Bible in Luke 18, 10 to 14, and this is a lengthy passage, but I want to read it for you because I think it teaches a really important lesson concerning prayer. And so the account goes, excuse me. The account goes, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Back in those days, we might call tax collector the scum of the earth. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I'm not an extortioner, I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What does that teach us about how our heart should be when we go to God in prayer? Our sin is so horrible in the sight of God. I don't think we can appreciate that properly. It's so horrible that the only way to erase it from the mind of God is through the shedding of blood. And not just any blood, but the blood of his only son who had to leave heaven and come down here and be nailed to a cross and shed his blood so that that horrible sin can be erased from the mind of God and we can be reconciled to him for eternity. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And when we go to God in prayer, we ought to remember that. And he ought to see our humility when we go to God in prayer. We need to communicate to God in accordance with his will. You know, one of the benefits I mentioned earlier was that we get to go and ask things of the Almighty God of the universe. But we ought to follow that up with, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, just as Christ did. We need to pray in accordance with his will. 1 John 3:14 reads, Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, we read, Our Father in heaven, again, this is the model prayer, Christ teaching his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first thing Christ prayed in his model prayer, was your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to make sure and pray, those things that we want, those things that we think we need, those things that we hope for. But we need to pray that not our will would be done, but God's will would be done, and have confidence that His will has our best interests in mind. Of course, we have to pray through Christ. That's the only way that we can get to God. John 14:6 reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so our prayer ought to always be offered through Christ. You know, sometimes we say almost habitually, through Jesus we pray, amen. There's a lot of meaning in those words. There's a lot that took place to make those words possible. And so we ought not to offer them in vain repetition, but remember that in order to get to God through prayer, we have to go through His Son. And then this one I find very interesting. We should pray, I think the Bible tells us, with importunity. Now that word importunity is an interesting word. If you look it up and you kind of go back and study the Greek, study that out, it means shameless persistence. Now think, have you done anything in your life with shameless persistence? I don't care what people think, I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to persist, regardless of what anybody thinks. That's shameless persistence. And so we're to pray with shameless persistence, with importunity. That's illustrated for us in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 10. Again, a long passage, but I want to read it because I think it's full of meaning. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within saying, do not trouble me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise up and give to you. I say you, though he will not rise up and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his shameless persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. God expects us to keep on requesting, keep on petitioning him for those things that we need. And he authorizes and instructs us to be shamelessly persistent about our prayer and our requests and our supplications to him. And so we ought not think, as I sometimes find myself thinking, you know, I asked for God, I asked that of God, and, you know, I should leave it at that. He heard me. He knows I need it. He knows I've asked for it. He knows I'm hoping for this. I'll just leave it right there. God authorizes us to be shamelessly persistent in our prayer and in our supplications to him. When we pray, we should pray with confidence. James 1, 5 through 8 reads, if any of you lacks wisdom, any of us here lack wisdom in solving our day-to-day problems and getting through our day-to-day challenges and the things that Satan hurls at us? If any of you lacks wisdom, that's all of us, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. That's a tall order right there. No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God expects that when we go to him with a request, that we have no doubt, we have absolute confidence that he has the power to fulfill that request, and that if it's in accordance with his will and in our best interests, he will grant it. We should have that absolute confidence when we go to to God in prayer. And I think he says there that if we don't have that confidence, we shouldn't expect to have any response from that prayer. We're to go to God with faith and confidence in our heart that if it's in accordance with his will, that if he knows that it's in our best interest, he will absolutely have the power to fulfill that request. So I hope that these things that we've talked about this evening are helpful for you in your prayer life. I don't think for most here I've shared anything that's new. Hopefully I've just called to mind some things about prayer that will help you, will help strengthen your prayer life. But the last thing I want to share with you is who can go to God in prayer. John 9:31 says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears it." You know, all those people on Facebook that you see as you scroll down that are praying for this and praying for that, not all of those people are heard. Not just anyone who offers a prayer to God is heard. The scriptures clearly teach us that it's only those who are servants of God, those who do his will, God hears them. And part of doing God's will is obeying the gospel. It's believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confessing that faith before men, repenting of your old sinful ways and deciding to live in accordance with God's will, and then being baptized, symbolically contacting the blood of Christ to have your sins washed away. And only if you've done that in obedience to God will he listen to your prayers. God only listens to the prayers of his children. Are you a child of God this evening? If you're not, you can become one. And we'd be happy to assist you with that. If you have been a child of God, but you've fallen away, you've sinned in his sight, well, that's the perfect use for prayer. The scriptures say, pray to God, repent of that sin, decide to change your ways, and ask him to forgive you, and he will. And we'd be happy to pray with you about that this evening. If you have need of becoming a child of God this evening, or if you need to repent of sin that's of a public nature, we'd be happy to help you with that this evening. Please come forward as we stand and sing.